The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Hour of our program has arrived, and you always know that the football season is in the rearview mirror when we introduce our next guest, one of our favorites, Seth Greenberg, joining us as we talk about what's ahead. Kentucky taking on Kansas Saturday night at Rupp. Kansas is losing badly right now. They're on a three-game losing streak. Look at some of these games. Auburn goes to West Virginia. Huggy Bear and Bruce Pearl. We've got Alabama going out to Oklahoma, Iowa State, Mizzou, Texas Tech, LSU, TCU taking on Mississippi State, Arkansas, Baylor, Texas, and Tennessee. That's one of the big games of that is the biggest game of the day. Florida State, Kansas State, Kansas, Kentucky, and Ole Miss in Oklahoma State. Seth, it's been way too long. We hope you've had a good winter. Good afternoon.
How you doing, my friend? The law firm of Greenberg is back in business.
We're open for business. I mean, there's been a lot of personal injury suits that have gone by the wayside with us on hiatus. Great to have you back. Seth, let me start with the most obvious thing in our world and, frankly, in college basketball. And the question is simply, how good is Alabama and what are they capable of?
They're capable of winning a national championship. They're the best team in college basketball right now. They're the most complete team. You know, it's real simple. They're an elite offensive team. They got the best freshman in the country in Brandon Miller. They can beat you in transition. They can beat you in a half court. They can run you off the three. They can protect the rim. They've got tremendous depth. They're the most complete team in college basketball right now, followed by Purdue.
And I realize basketball polls are somewhat irrelevant, and things change. They're still not. They're at number two this week. Is there some explanation why they aren't number one?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because the team that was the number one for a long time was Houston, and they won on the road at Houston. You know, whether it's the loss to Connecticut, I don't know. I look at the schedule they've played, the manner in which they've got, how much better they've gotten. You know, the adjustments that Nate Oates has made, Paul, in terms of bringing Jaden Bradley as a starter, bringing Quinterly off the bench, the development of Noah Clowney, Mark Sears, the transfer from Ohio University, moving into the two guard. When we watch them, it's not just the eyeball test. The eyeball test, obviously, they're very pleasing to watch, the way they play. But it's also all their analytics. I mean, you can't argue with their analytics. You know, their ability to run you off the three, their ability to block shots, their ability to score in transition, their ability to score in a half court. And Brandon Miller, you know, he reminds me of, and, you know, again, I'm not sure your viewers can remember this far back, but he reminds me of a young Kevin Durant.
Hmm. That's quite a compliment. Let me ask you in terms of Nate Oates' stewardship of this team, and everyone is still in shock about the situation with Darius Miles. They've gone out on the road, I think, twice now and won convincingly, and I realize I'm asking you to speculate on things, but what would you be concerned about as a coach as you move forward with this still hanging over one of your now former players?
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing is let's control what we can control. And that, you know, right now, that situation, we have no say in it. It's going to run its course. Obviously, we want to be compassionate, be humane, and care and concerned. But the most important thing is we've got to control what we have. And, you know, one thing that I've sat in a number of Nate Oates' film sessions, I go watch them practice every year in the fall, and they've got a really tight group. They really do. They're a group that has a great trust. There's not a lot of ego in the room. And, you know, their best player, obviously, Brandon Miller, plays with no ego whatsoever. So I think they got to trust their instinct. There's not much they can do about it. You know, no until the process plays out, none of us know really what the situation in the end will be. So control what you can control. Let's make sure we do the right things each and every day. Let's make sure we make good decisions every single day. Let's make sure that we are known for all the right things of how we play, how we treat each other, how we treat others. And that's the most important thing, I think, and the most important messaging that Nate Oates can give his team.
Let me get to a school that has been on the comeback trail recently, but if we had talked to you 2 weeks ago, the first question would have been about John Calipari. It seems like we've asked you that question a few times in recent years. I know how fond you are of him. How do you assess their team right now, and what's ahead?
They made a huge step forward in the last three games. Now, they could get bopped today against Vanderbilt, who's going to spread you out and make Oscar defend on the floor. But he made a big decision, and the decision is it was the right decision. And that's to go with the big guard lineup. You know, and all of a sudden now, Antonio Reeves gives him a scorer. C.J. Frederick, even though he's not shooting a great, Paul, what he does have the ability to do is a career 40% three-point shooter, so you have to guard him. He's their best post feeder. The ball's in Casey Wallace's hand. They're playing a little bit slower. He's empowered Jacob Toppin to be more assertive and let him play for his mistakes. But the big lineup has really helped him defend. They're giving up about eight fewer points a game. They're more physical on the perimeter. I like what they're doing. I like how they're playing. They've been able to close out games, which is important. Their margin of error is not what it used to be. They don't have a team of pros. They have probably the fourth best players in the league, maybe. And I understand where Oscar is. You know, Oscar is different because he's the player of the year. But what they do have is they have the makings of a really good team.
Let me throw a couple more schools at you before you go, starting with Tennessee. We mentioned the big game this weekend. I know you'll get a pretty good view of what is going on there. What do you make out of Rick Barnes' team?
They're Final Four good. They're probably the second best team in the SEC, maybe the third or fourth best team in the country. They can play big with the two bigs. They can play Josiah James at the four. They obviously are an incredible defensive team. They're a great offensive rebounding team. They're shooting 40% from the three. Putting Zakai Ziegler back in the starting lineup now that you have his attention, because early in the season he was a little bit outside of his playing to his strengths and championing his role, gives him a dynamic floor leader and a guy that's tough on the ball and can get downhill. Dante's playing well, but it's their depth, their toughness, their experience. They're a different Rick Barnes team because they're much better offensively. They have more shot makers and more versatility in terms of playing big and small. I think they're really good. I think this is Rick's best team. And even though they've gotten bopped in the NCAA tournament, if you look at the makeup of NCAA tournament teams, Paul, they're experienced teams. They're mature teams. They're teams that have faced some adversity, whether it was North Carolina going to the Final Four last year, or the Villanova teams that won national championships. The national championship of Kansas last year that got ran at Kentucky. The national championship teams have character and substance. I look at this Tennessee team. It has a lot of character, a lot of substance, and a lot of versatility.
Seth, in relation to the big picture of college basketball, you know, no K, no Jay Wright. It's a different league. It's a different time right now. A lot of new programs developing. Just how would you assess where we are right now in terms of college basketball for 2023?
I think it's been fascinating. More number one teams have lost to more top 25 teams have lost to unranked teams. There's a lot of reasons for that, Paul. And, you know, you talk about there are more good teams. The best players are spread out throughout the country. The transfer portal has given teams like Missouri a chance to flip it quick. Kansas State a chance to flip it quick. Alabama to add a guy like Sears. So, you know, like where we are is, with having said that, it's hard to maintain a high level of execution and because of a couple things. Number one, and it's really, really simple. It's more players spread over the country. Two, it's hard to keep your team's attention, whether it's social media, whether it's, and I call it the static, whether it's social media, whether it's peer pressure, whether it's unrealistic expectation, whether it's the noise around these teams, whether it's NIL, whether it's jealousy. That's the challenge for today's coach, to keep everyone on the same page, eliminate the static. But we have more good teams in college basketball. Each and every night, college basketball doesn't disappoint. It never disappoints. I mean, last night, the Duke-Virginia Tech game, we've seen incredible, incredible finishes and unbelievable plays. So it's a different business than it was 10 years ago. It's a different business than it was 3 years ago. So you're seeing some coaches walk away because, you know what? they're not as comfortable in the new economy of college basketball.
Fantastic stuff. We always enjoy this. Seth, be well. Can't wait to talk to you again soon.
You got it, pal. Thank you for having me, Paul.
Seth Greenberg, what a conversation there, saying that Rick Barnes has his best team, Final Four good, and he said Alabama, best team in the country. We aim to please here. We'll take a short break. Your phone call's right around the corner.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Premieres. Monday. Hey, welcome back here on a Tuesday night. Squirrel up next. Hello, Squirrel.
Hello, and thank you for taking my call. And I was inspired by Jim's call. We'll get that in a minute. But did you say a day or two ago that you took 4 years of Spanish?
Yes.
That is I really admire that. You know, I think we've talked before. You know, I was born in Spain. And I was brought to this country when I was almost 4, and I'd already beginning to speak Spanish at that point. And but I was, you know, adopted by Americans and brought here and grew up in an American household. And I can speak very little Spanish right now, and it's always been a huge embarrassment to me, especially when I go like on vacation to Mexico or something like that. So I admire people that can speak Spanish.
Well, listen, let me make it clear. Taking it and speaking it are two different things. I took two different foreign languages as a young person. You know, one I can read. I can hardly speak it. Spanish, I can obviously. I would be if the two of us were in Spain. I would be doing a lot of waving my hands.
Well, I can read it better than I can speak it.
Yeah.
And, but when we go on vacation, they'll give me a Spanish menu, and they'll give my wife an English menu. And it's always been, like I said, an embarrassment that I can't converse. And I'm planning on actually going back to Spain sometime in the next year. And I'm going to take some type of course and try to get
better. By the way, by no means is it the most complex language I've learned, though.
No, it's not hard, and that's why it's such an embarrassment that it's not easy for me to pick up. But, I mean, I can get around, but you know, when I'm down there in Mexico, but I'm not fluent by no means. But getting back to Jim and Jim's call, you know, it's been almost a year since the breakup.
The breakup?
Yeah, Jim and Legend. And you can still hear the pain in his voice. I mean, what was the do you recall what the first name of all the names he called Legend a few minutes ago? Do you remember the first one? Backstabber.
Ooh, that was a good song.
Well, no, he said backstabbing, actually.
Oh, back. Okay.
Was that the
OJs who did Backstabber?
Yes, I think it was, matter of fact. And that was a great song. I love music. I love that R&B back in the days. I still listen to it, matter of fact. I think Channel 74. But no, getting back to the breakup, it's been a year now, and the pain is still there. They were a duo back when they were both. You remember back when there was like the Legend?
Oh, yeah.
Jim Coalition and the
there were a couple of gunslingers.
And, it happened before the collar bracket last year, if you recall, because, I-Man took me out and Legend took Jim out and then went on to win the whole thing. And so, like I said, the breakup's been going on a while. I would have thought maybe they'd extended the olive branch to each other by now, but obviously it's still ongoing. But I'm glad Jim committed to calling back in.
So, by the way, we have you. You can't see this right now, but on the screen we have up Ardelia. Ardelia, that is your name in Spanish.
Oh, I appreciate that. I didn't know that.
Ardelia de Madison, Mississippi.
That's awesome. You threw me off there. Look, let me let you go. I'm taking up enough time. Squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. Has. Left. D. Building.
Muy bien. Larry in El Shelbo is
he
up
said,
next.
Roll Tide.
How are you?
What he said. Let me tell you something. I can drink a case of Bud Light and I speak four different languages.
40 different languages?
Four.
Different. What languages do you speak?
I don't know. I'm drunk. Okay, I don't remember. People had to tell me.
Okay.
Hey, man, look here. What's going on with the WHO? Has this done got into the epidemic portion? Sounds like it. Jim's doing the WHO now. Woo!
He did. Aren't you the first guy that did the WHO on the show?
Yeah, Rick Flair, man. We were talking wrestling all that about 10 years ago. Man, you get me to do it. You say, do the WHO. You say, give me a better one than that. And, I did it. You got these plagiarizers, man. These bunch of people plagiarizing. I don't like it.
What are they doing, Larry, what are they doing to the WHO?
Plagiarizing me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
just wanted to make sure.
Plagiarizing me,
You should never do that to anyone.
No, taking my woo. That's bad, man. Elvis left the building. How's that sound? But I'm going to tell you this, Paul Feinbaum. This damn coaching stuff. That O'Brien's contract was up in February.
Right. He was gone.
Yeah, but the point was he didn't get there till 2020.
Yeah, he got there. Sarkisian left in 21, in January of 21, and then he took over right away.
Yeah, I mean, Saban said it himself on the podcast. Every play that hits that field comes through me, and I approve it. So what is Legend saying about Saban? I don't like Legend's characteristic of these coaches and keep downing them, going after them. And look at the ball. I know he took New York Giants to the playoffs, but then he got kicked in the balls.
Yeah, I mean, Brian Daboll was only at Alabama 1 year.
Yeah.
But they won the national championship.
Listen, I don't blame these coaches wanting to leave Feinbaum. They get tired of hearing these whiny-ass Alabama fans like me. And Legend's the worst. I mean, come on, man. You ain't got nothing else to talk about. In between and giggling and woo and talking about the coaches, there's just not much to him. And Jim, the first time that when Jim I called way back in the phone, we was doing phones, and Jim was calling, and I calling. I was interacting with you about disagreement, and he said, "Let me let you talk to somebody," and he put me on with Jim, and that, I got slapped around pretty good. I still remember that, Paul. That's about the biggest damn ambush I ever. Yeah, that was a successful ambush in Vietnam time.
Well, I am certainly sorry about that.
Yeah, you should be. Woo! Roll damn time.
Okay. Kent is up next. Good evening, Kent.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you for checking in.
Just wanted to elaborate a little bit on what was being talked about with Saban and the assistant coaches changing out, coordinators changing out. You know, the Alabama program has slipped a little. I don't think that it's gone forever, but by any means. But I just thought I would get your opinion on this. It seems to me that when Coach Kirby Smart left the Alabama program to come back home to Georgia, by the way, I'm a diehard Georgia fan. I'm calling you from the North Georgia mountains of LJ, Georgia. And it seems that Coach Smart and the Georgia program got very good when he got here. Other than the first year. And the Alabama program slipped somewhat. And I think that the reason for a lot of the success that Nick Saban had is now the head coach in Athens, Georgia. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's a complicated answer. And I say this for statistically, Alabama has won two titles since that moment. But they've also had a couple of things happen that were shocking, such as losing a national championship game by 28 points, seeing the defense become less than feared, and I think that's
exactly.
Kirby became Georgia suddenly became Alabama's biggest rival in recruiting. And really biggest rival overall, and that's really what he's done. He's taken what Alabama perfected under Nick Saban and Kirby Smart and others to Georgia, and this season, you know, a lot of people think was a changing of the guard. I don't know. Nobody can predict the future, but if the question was asked, do you feel more secure about Georgia in the next 5 years than Alabama, then That's where the conversation ought to be, and that's really the impact and influence of Kirby Smart.
Exactly, and I do feel that Georgia will outperform Alabama in the next 5 years. Let's face it, you know, I know Nick's 71. He's had its successes, and everyone slows down at some point. I'm 66, and I've slowed down a lot.
No, listen, I'm Ken, I'm right with you there. And I mean, people are well aware of how they appear and how they move. And nobody at your age or mine is the same as they were 5 years ago or 10 years prior. You can still do a lot of things, but you start thinking in terms of, man, not bad for a 66-year-old versus. Versus you don't even, you know, age is not an issue. So I think age becomes a conversation. I don't care what we say about Nick Saban. I think with each year, the mountain becomes a little slippery. We'll take a short break, 30 minutes remaining. We're back after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back here late on a Tuesday night. Todd is up next in Shelby. Hello, Todd.
Hey, Paul. Can I do it, Paul?
Yes, you can. That was a good one. You nailed it.
Hey, let me ask you something. Is Jim humping JK's leg nowadays? To be compelling is what he says. Is that his new job?
He is a big fan of JK.
Hey, let me ask you this, Paul, and you're really good. You remember everything. You remember in the late 60s there was a commercial, and I'm just going to tell you part of it, but it said, a brain is a terrible thing. Do you remember that?
I vaguely remember. What was it for?
All right, a brain is a terrible thing to waste because it was a terrible commercial.
I always thought it was a mind is
that,
a terrible thing to waste.
You are right, but we used to say a mind is a terrible thing, and I think about Jim every time I think about that.
Yeah, I think wasn't it a commercial for higher education or something?
Yes, it was.
The United Negro College Fund.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that was a great commercial. I do not use that as an adage for this program. A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Right, but Paul, we were kids and we were always saying Buffalo Bill sat on the hill, wiped his butt with a $10 bill. I mean, we were kids. You know what I mean.
I do remember being a kid.
Also, I wanted to say this. I never got back to Amy. Let me tell you this. To me, Kirby Smart is one of the best Christian coaches out there. And Amy really needs to get that log out of her eye before she picks that speck out of his. And, Paul, when you're criticizing folks for their sin, you don't really supposed to let nobody know that. This is national TV.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. But also, I am really worried about Augie's mother-in-law. Paul, we ain't heard anything.
We are going to effort an update on that, Todd. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Man is up next.
Good afternoon. I tell you, you said something yesterday about Stetson Bennett referring to the last waltz. Now,
yes.
If I'm not correct, he's on his jersey, he's a Bennett 2, right?
He's Bennett 4.
He's Bennett 4?
Yeah.
Well, then Bennett 3, his parents, must have had one hell of a record collection because he grew up with some good music.
I can't tell you how many times I have listened to The Last Waltz.
Absolutely. And I had 4 or 5 of their albums. And, you know, they were not a particular rock band or blues. They were such a mix of personalities and different blends of music that they brought together, kind of like the Allman Brothers. It was just a mesh of everything. And for whatever reason, it was interesting and it worked. And, you know, being Bob Dylan's band didn't hurt, but...
Yeah, no, I always thought they were Dylan's house band. I didn't realize they were a legitimate band until I got older.
Yeah, and that's where their name came from. This is the band. You know, he just introduced them as that. But, no, I found their music quite interesting. And you know, it sounds like a lot of your callers, to borrow from a band album, sounds like a lot of your callers are in cahoots with the theme. Woo! I mean, you know, they all got it going on. I mean, you got the Flying Elvises. You got James Brown in here. I think I'll take mine down a little south of the state of Texas and go, ow. But, I mean, I'm just following the trend. I mean, you know, that's what you do. When you see something out there that looks like it's creating something, you get in there and you kind of move with kind of like the wave at the stadium. You know, you can't be that one guy in the middle of it. Don't get up and do it. And I don't know why you do it. But when you do it, it feels good. Would you confirm that statement?
I've never really been part of a wave. Have you?
Well, that's because you're in the damn press box.
That's true.
Or the elevator, or at the hors d'oeuvre tray eating lettuce.
Usually the hors d'oeuvre tray.
When you go to the hors d'oeuvres,
why do you move the hors d'oeuvres and eat the lettuce that the hors d'oeuvres are sitting on? I mean, you got a very unusual.
You've seen me eat.
I act like I've seen you. I have seen you.
I just remember that as I said that.
I saw you turn that hamburger around on that plate. I mean, you might have took a bite, but
I don't think I did.
Sure.
I don't think I did.
I think you might have picked the lettuce and the pickle out from under it. I was kind of surprised you went with the pickle. But anyway,
it was a deal.
Just keeping in rhythm with everything. I am Iron Man.
I wonder if I stepped on that call. AJ is up next. Hello, AJ.
Woo! From Pale City, Alabama.
Oh, my goodness.
The Nature Boy Rick Flair called me a while ago.
Did he?
And he said, hey, AJ, they're embarrassing me on Feinbaum. You need to call in there and straighten that out.
I bet he did.
He said, the old guys are, they've lost their luster. You know, did you know that the Paul Feinbaum callers, show callers, did you know that the portal's still open, Paul?
I didn't hear that.
It didn't close. There's no
we do, yeah. The portal on this show never closes.
Yeah, well, clearly, Jim has, you know what Jim stands for? J-I-M stands for?
No.
Just an ignorant man. I mean, he just insane man. I mean, what did he do tonight? Did he crawl out of Bryce, climb over the wall over there at the mental institution over there in Tuscaloosa and get to a payphone to call you?
Do they still have – when was the last time you saw a payphone?
Jim, that's all he can have is a payphone. His wife's taking his cell phone away from him because of the ass he's making out of himself on your show. Jim's a jackass, Paul, and what's so funny about it is you kind of puff him up a little bit during his call, which is cute because he escalates in his egotistical mind and he starts thinking that you're not kidding. You're just Jim. He's just kidding. You know what JK stands for? Just kidding. And that's what Paul's doing, Jim. He's just kidding. So you'll make an idiot out of yourself even more. You're the worst caller ever. You ruin every show. And you need to find another part. You need to pick up pickleball, Jim. It's healthy.
Okay. Well, AJ, before you go?
It's time for Jim. You know, Daryl got euthanized. That's what you do to a boy.
AJ, thank you. Jim would like to respond.
Yeah, now, I'm going to tell you something seriously. That is a fool, Paul. he hates me. That's another jealous one. But he wants to say all that crazy crap about me because he's jealous. He can't. He's a hick. Now, that guy, we know when a hick is a hick. A hick sounds like a hick. You know what I mean? You don't have to clarify it. You know it when you hear it. That guy is a bona fide, redneck, stupid-ass hick. That's all he is. And he's another one jealous of me, and I guarantee you know that, whether you admit it or not. You probably won't admit it because you want that fool to call.
Well, I think, Jim, you understand. It's a compliment when the critics come after you.
Like he did? Like that? That's a compliment?
Well, I mean, you understand history.
Here's what I understand, Paul. I understand a wicked, evil man. That's what he's a damn. He's that guy probably robbed banks. No telling what he's done. No, I'm not going to say what
he's
he might have done.
Robber.
But I wouldn't be surprised. Anything sorry as hell that guy's done. I promise you. I know his track record. If hidden track record, we can't see right now, is as bad as Al Capone. I'm serious. I'm serious. I can be. I know a thug when I hear a thug, Paul. That guy is a bona fide thug. Elvis has left the building, and this is the real Elvis. No, I'm serious. I wouldn't dare say that. But I loved Elvis, and ain't none of them Elvis. Thanks for this.
Thank
Bye.
You very much. We're up against a break. We still have a couple of minutes remaining. We'll be right back. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.